Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's going on? I'm talking with Bron Daler from Mastodon. Their new album is called Hushed and Grim. It's available now. Came out, was it last week or a couple weeks ago? I don't know. I've been jamming it so much.
I've been listening to it for over a year, so I have no idea.
Okay, fair enough.
I think it was a couple weeks ago, yes. The 29th of October is when it came out.
So
whatever day that was, however long ago that was. Sorry, we just got on tour like a week ago, and I'm just, you know, getting into it.
Of course. So you guys are over on the East Coast right now.
Yeah, we're in Albany.
So with the COVID protocol and stuff, I'm assuming the backstage stuff, probably a little bit more subdued and chill with less people around and stuff.
Yeah. Backstage is on lockdown and we're all bubbled up here. So yeah, no fun zone.
You guys got to really just party with each other.
Yeah, which we're kind of used to that anyway, so it's fine.
Word. So you mentioned just a second ago that you've been listening to this album for like a year and some change or whatever. So were these songs written and recorded before the pandemic or during the pandemic?
During, yeah. They were written. We started the writing process maybe 3 or 4 months before the lockdown happened in March. And then we didn't see each other for 3 or 4 months, like mm-hmm. most people. And then we got back into it and just continued, pouring over the demos and, just kind of rolling up the sleeves and getting in there and doing the work. And then I think in September of 2020 is when we mm-hmm. decided on a producer. And then we started tracking in mid-November. So it was exactly a year ago that we had started tracking pre-production, and it was lasted like a week, and then we got into it and we were there November, December, January, February, March. I think it was like 3 or 4 months before we were finished.
So was the album recording affected at all by the pandemic, or were you guys kind of in a really small bubble and it kept it pretty normal?
Oh, it was definitely affected. There could only be a couple people that worked at a time down mm-hmm. at the studio. And I think the overall writing, I don't think we would be talking about a double album if the pandemic hadn't have happened, because we always have a tour looming or some kind of something to do.
Yeah.
But we had nothing, like most entertainers, you know, because this is the last industry to come back. So yep. And we had no hopes of anything. There was nothing on the horizon. There was just, you know, we did like an Adult Swim festival thing. Mm-hmm. We did, we had sort of prepared for the aquarium gig. But other than that, it was really just all we had to do is work on the record. So we worked on it pretty tirelessly. You know, we just sort of poured over it every day. That's all anybody was thinking about. And we never had to shift gears. You know, a lot of times, even, you know, during any album recording, you got a gig or something, like in the middle of Crack the Sky, we had to play Bonnaroo. So it was like, all right, shift gears. We got to relearn Blood and Thunder and Crystal Skull and all these songs. And it's like, you know, takes the focus away from the writing of the material. So, yeah, I mean, without it, I guess, who knows what the record would have sounded like, but this is what it is.
Yeah. So that must have been a positive thing to be able to, you know, because like everyone full of anxiety, full of just raw emotions, just scared out of our minds. I at least maybe I'm speaking for myself. I didn't know, you know, when things would come back and just job situations and all this stuff.
Oh no, you weren't alone. You weren't alone. I was definitely going through some mental stuff that I was like, okay, I just need to go work on this.
Yeah.
Work on this music, and then that'll help. That definitely helped my mental state. You know?
Yeah. So, you know, the album's done, and then it comes out at this perfect time now where shows are happening. You guys are on tour, obviously. And, you know, things are opening up. I mean, in Seattle, there's literally like 5 shows that I want to go to this weekend. It's actually like in abundance. And I'm like, oh my God, it's really back.
Yeah. I figured it was going to be like that. I'm like, man, when this thing opens up, every single band in the world is going to go on tour at the same time.
So did you guys, decide to hold off a little while? Or did you guys, cause like there were a lot of albums that came out during the pandemic that I feel like kind of got lost a little bit in the shuffle because they couldn't tour on them. Did you guys want to hold off until it was safe to go out and promote it?
I mean, we sort of were fortunate in that way where, we were able to hold off, and you know, there was no rush to like put it out immediately, and it kind of gave us just a little bit more setup time for it. And there was no reason to put it out right away, you know, after it was done being recorded, because yeah, just we sort of got lucky in that respect. So it worked out for us.
So the album, like you said, it's a double album. I've been listening to it a lot. And there's some really dynamic songwriting in there. And you know, maybe it's just me kind of just overthinking it, but I hear some like kind of 70s prog rock influence. Is that true? Is it kind of like a prog influence on some of these songs?
Oh yeah. I mean, we've always worn those influences on our sleeves, you know. Mm-hmm. Yes. King Crimson, old Genesis, you know, so we always try to figure out a way to put it in there. But yeah, I think that this record, especially, it rears its head more than in some of our later albums. Yeah. So yeah, you're correct.
Nice. Right on, man. Well, okay. So it's gotta feel pretty good to get back on the road, but, you know, I'm curious, was this the longest period of time away from the road that you've had in your adult life?
Yeah, since I was maybe 23 or 24 when I first started like touring heavily. Yeah, this is the most time off I've had. Okay. I got used to being at home. All the creature comforts, you don't have to worry, everything's there. You know, now I'm back on tour and it's like, oh yeah, this. I love playing and all that stuff, but you never know where you're going to be the next day. And sometimes it's really great and sometimes it's, you know, just okay.
So was that kind of a shock to your system to get back on the road? Like at first you're like, okay, this again.
Whew. Not really. I mean, you know, it's riding a bike type of situation. Sure. You know, I mean, you know, I know my way around this kitchen pretty well.
Word. Well, aside from, you know, recording the album, working on the album, was there anything specifically that you did, like maybe on a daily basis or anything to like keep you sane during this time where you couldn't tour?
Well,
or maybe that's an assumption that you stayed sane, you know?
No, no, I was going pretty bonkers there for a little bit we couldn't even go down to the studio for 3 or 4 months. So we weren't allowed to leave our houses, mm-hmm. except for if you're going to the grocery store. And we stuck to that to try to be good little boys. So, I drew a clown every day for 101 days straight.
That's right.
I did that. That kind of got me out of bed in the morning and gave me something to do to anchor me to, this planet, you know. I was like, okay, I'm going to draw a clown. And I had all these ideas for different clowns I was going to draw. And I had a whole list of them I was going to do. Get up every morning, have my two tangerines with a glass of water and a couple cups of coffee, and crack my sketchbook, draw the daily clown, and text it to all my friends. And then it became a thing. So I did it for 101 days straight. And now it's a coffee table book through Revolver magazine called the 101 Clowns, Ron Daler's 101 Clowns of the Coronavirus. So yeah, you can gift that to your loved ones this Christmas.
That's amazing. What was it about the clowns? Was it just something that like cheered you up a little bit?
I went through a lot of, if you flip through the book, you'll see, you know, it goes chronologically. So you can see sort of my, you know, maybe some of the more, the darker clowns, you know, you say, kind of see a lot of my friends were using them to psychoanalyze me for like a week. They'd say, man, you really went dark this week. Are you okay? Is everything all right? I'd be like, I'm just working it out through the clowns, just showing you where I'm at. You know, once in a while, there'd be a nice cute one and be like, hey, everything's okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes I draw like a real funny, try to do a funny one, you know, just to try to cheer myself up, you know, try to make myself come out of whatever funk I was in, you know, because I couldn't do Mastodon and I couldn't do, you know, for some reason, you know, when you can't go do your job and you're just at home, it makes you feel worthless.
Totally.
The clown helped bring me out of a lot of the funk. So, yeah, there you go.
I would say whoop whoop, but you know, that's another band's catchphrase. So
there's a whoop whoop clown in there.
Nice. All right. There we go.
I did a nice classic like Greek theater masks, you know, and they have the Insane Clown Posse makeup on. And,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Some juggalo representation. I had to put them in there.
Absolutely, man. You can't go clowns without them. So, albums. I'm curious about. So this is a question I like to ask, just based on this time period. Music was a thing that, you know, I would go on long walks, just long rambling walks with no real destination in sight. And I would just listen to new music or old music. And I would, you know, a couple albums I would just listen to on repeat sometimes. Was there any albums that, or are there any albums that you can go to when you're having a day? Anything that you can just put back on and you'd be like, that's a good vibe.
I put on Stevie Wonder's Inner Visions. Usually awesome. That one helps me. Ziggy Stardust helps. I'd say, Genesis Lamb Lies Down on Broadway helps. And, I'd say King Diamond's Them. I like that one. I'll put that one on and it makes me feel. Yeah, that's a nice, that's like grandma's meatloaf for me right there. Yeah. That's a nice warm blanket.
Absolutely.
King Diamond Them. I'm like, yes, this is my home. I live here with grandma and the tea.
Grandma. Yes. Awesome. So looking back and you know, your time frame of like starting to play drums, who was your inspiration to pick up the drums? Did you come from a musical family? Were you in like a tight music community, or, you know, where'd you pick up the drums from?
My Uncle Mark was just a few years older than me, and he played drums in my grandfather's band.
Oh, that's killer.
You know, my grandfather and my grandmother had a band when they were like teenagers or late teens. 16, 17, 18. They played the Grand Ole Opry. And
that's so cool.
Jammed with Ernest Tubb down in Tennessee.
Is there any albums? Do they have any albums we could look up? Or
no, I don't think so. I mean, there's some recordings, but there's no actual albums that they cut, I don't think. I'd have to do some research on that. But yeah, that's nothing so cool. That got passed around the family, at least. Yeah. But yeah, they jammed at the Opry. And then, and then later when I came along, they were... My grandmother was like, played bass and like did jazz standards, like Take the A Train and some Billie Holiday and stuff like that. Nice. And then my grandfather was in sort of a country rock band, you know, and my uncle was a drummer. So my mom was pretty young when she had me. So when we would go over there, we were over there quite a bit to visit the grandparents. And I always end up in the attic with my uncle playing drums, and he'd put like records on and say, play along to this, you know, so be like Deep Purple or Rainbow, Montrose, Nazareth, stuff like that, that he was into.
Yeah.
And he was just, yeah, like my aunts and uncles are all like, my parents are the kind of like the older children of their family. So all my aunts and uncles were more like siblings age for me. So every time we'd go over there, they were, you know, hanging. So, yeah, I'd say my Uncle Mark was my main inspiration to play the drums. And everybody in my family played an instrument. My mom was a singer in a rock band. So it was like, it was more of a question of which instrument are you going to play,
yeah,
as opposed to are you going to play? So as a lot of drummers know, you have to have cool parents to be a drummer. They have to be, there's no volume knob on the drums, and they have to listen to you suffer through whatever,
yeah,
whatever you're trying to learn, you know. I'm sure it's different for parents. They're listening to their kid, you know, figure something out. So that's probably kind of fun, but I'm sure it was annoying for at some moments when I was up there banging away on the drums.
My parents had to deal with the trumpet, so that was,
oh god, yeah, that's another one that's up there with the drums, like, geez, running them scales.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay, so when you're at least in the Seattle metal community, I'm sure this is, you know, like everywhere, there's like usually like two or three drummers, and they're in every band because there's only a few metal drummers, right? Was that a case for you getting, you know, into the music scene and stuff? Were you like in high demand, like filling in or playing in a bunch of different projects?
Oh yeah, for sure. That's how every scene is. You know? Yeah. Like the one guy. I mean, I wasn't the one guy. There was a guy in Rochester named Rob Fillard, and he was in every single band. You know, it's just like, yeah, oh, he's in that band now. Oh, you're in that. Yeah, it's 20 bands. That was just in a few, you know,
mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. Maybe it was like my busy style. People are like, he can't do it. He can't calm down. It's going to play all over everything. We don't want that. But, yeah, I did a few things that were favors for sure.
Nice. All right. Well, I just have a couple more questions. Don't want to take up too much of your time today, but, as far as like nerdy metal and nerdy music, fan question, if you could transport yourself into any album cycle, any period, and sit on the drums for one band during one period, which band would it be? And what cycle, what period of their career?
I say Iron Maiden, Peace of Mind.
That would be pretty, you'd have a pretty cool drum throne on that one.
Yeah. My buddy Nico, I'd be so stoked to see that being recorded and be there. That'd be sweet.
Hell yeah. Right on, man. Well, we're a Seattle radio station, as you know. What are some of your favorite Seattle bands of all time? And I'm putting you on the spot here, so you know, you can take your time or whatever. Is there any Seattle bands that, you know, really inspired you?
I can't think of any. Do you have bands in Seattle?
Yeah, a couple. I don't know. It's pretty obscure.
I think the Melvins are from Olympia,
mm-hmm.
But so Seattle, I mean, you know. I would have to say, you know, I like, is Mudhoney from Seattle?
Mm-hmm. They definitely
like Mudhoney.
Yeah.
Tad, yeah. Like Tad.
Oh yeah. Heavy.
I like, Queensryche.
Nice.
Operation Mindcrime was one of my favorite records. I like, what's that one band? Soundgarden.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are they from Seattle? Are they from I love Soundgarden.
They're amazing. Yeah, you guys played with them almost a decade ago, like at the Gorge. Epic.
Oh yeah, that was amazing. That was one of my favorite. So I mean, you know, Kim plays a guitar solo on one of the songs on the new record. So he plays on a song called Had It All, and a really amazing guitar solo that he gave to us. So love Soundgarden. Alice in Chains, are they from Seattle?
Yeah.
So Alice in Chains, all those guys. I mean, we toured with Alice in Chains.
Awesome.
Yeah, 10
Black
years
Diamond
ago.
Sky.
Yeah, Black Diamond Sky, one of my favorite tours I ever did. Just listening to Deftones and Alice in Chains every night. Alice in Chains is a huge influence on us, I think. You know, big, you can hear it in our music. You know, we take them with us.
Yes.
You know, so big influence. They're harmonizing and just the guitar work. And yeah. Sean's a funny mother.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Right on, man. Well, my last question for you, if you could show us, if not, no worries. Just tell us, pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of the scar.
Okay. I don't know if you can zoom in here.
Okay. Yeah, I see one. It. Yep.
You see it? So I was going to, we're going to sell my old house and had to redo the deck.
Okay.
So I got my buddy Steve over there to help me demo the deck. And I was like, I'm going to be a big boy and pitch in here and demo this deck.
Yeah.
So not 5 minutes into it, I'm up swinging with a hammer to get one of the rails off of there. And I hit myself directly in the face with a hammer and had to go right to the hospital, like 5 minutes into demoing the deck. So, cool. Awesome. Sweet.
And Steve's like, no more hammers for Braun.
And Braun, you just sit in there and watch TV or something.
Yeah.
I got this.
Nice, dude. Well, I appreciate you humoring me with that ridiculous last question and taking the time. Again, Hushed and Grim available now. Hopefully we'll see you in Seattle sooner rather than later. Do you know if you'll be in the Northwest anytime in the 2022 maybe?
Of course, yeah, we'll be there.
Okay.
Don't worry. Second leg coming up. We'll be announcing. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Awesome. Braun,
we love Seattle. It's always got a soft space in our heart. You know, we recorded 2 albums in Seattle. So we love the people there. We love the city and we feel like a kinship. So
right,
we'll be there.
Awesome. We look forward to it, man. Have a good one, Braun.
Awesome. You too.
Take it easy.
See ya.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.